We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. I'm Jim Galante along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. It's quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. And there's excitement and anticipation growing for weeks because the time's almost here. That's right. Baseball's coming back next week. The teams will be taking the field in less than 10 days, and there's no better place to get in on the action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. And while we're all excited for baseball, don't forget there's also European soccer happening all week long and a huge golf tournament that's sure to be thrilling. To get in on the action, you need to download the top-rated sportsbook app, DraftKings, and use code KSN when you sign up. For a limited time, all new users can get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. That's code KSN. Get your sign-up bonus up to $1,000 only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, Dustin. It is another segment where we are looking at our player roster. Again, we're doing this in alphabetical order, and we've got another interesting set of players, starting with Will Fries, the presumed starter at right tackle, multi-year starter. But it's interesting. It seems like everyone is trying to replace him. You know, is it Des Holmes or Caden Wallace? We keep hearing that. He's a multi-year starter. Is this guy underrated, Dustin? Is he appreciated for what he's does for the team?
I mean, probably not. There's zero flash to what he does, right? Like he's been around. Like it feels like he's been around forever. But nobody's replacing him this year, Jim. I'm convinced of that. You don't really take somebody who's been, you know, in the grand scheme of things, a pretty reliable guy for your program in all kinds of ways, in game situations and surely behind the scenes. And he's done nothing but work and get better. And I presume he'll be in position for his best year yet. He makes the grade in a lot of different areas, and you don't really shove that aside unless somebody really makes the case to do that. I think you're going to see Caden Wallace, who's listed as the number two right tackle as of the spring depth chart that Penn State put out. You're going to see him work his way in because Penn State wants that next man up to be prepared. But Caden Wallace isn't unseating Will Fries as a starter unless things go haywire, unless they need to shuffle guys, unless Will Fries gets hurt. In that situation, you know, all bets are off. But unless Will Fries plays himself out of that role, which he won't, he'll be your starting right tackle for the duration of the season, and he deserves that. I think he'll be a really good one to watch, for example, to see how good Phil Troutwine's going to be at his job. Can Will Fries make a leap in this his final season? He was one of those guys that I didn't really feel like they needed to make a statement that they were coming back and not going into the NFL draft, but he did. I didn't really think that was a realistic option for him to leave early and leave eligibility on the table to leave. But he's got a bunch of starts. He's got a lot of experience. He will be a rock solid right tackle for Penn State. And it's worth, it's okay to get excited about the future of that position and Caden Wallace, presumably. But right now, Will Fries is your guy. I think you need to embrace that. I think he's going to have a nice year.
I think he gets a bum rap from the fans and some of the pundits for performance. You know, you see Chase Young beating him. Well, guess what? He beat a lot of tackles, okay, yeah, throughout the season. And even in the Cotton Bowl, there were a couple breakdowns against a pretty good pass rusher. And you could look at those situations and say, hey, wait a minute, they left him on an island. You're playing against a player where you might have needed some help and you didn't get it. But that's the image the fan and, as I said, some of the pundits have in their head when talking about Will Fries, and that's probably unfair. All right. Next up, Dustin, we're going to talk about a wide receiver, and this one is Daniel George. He's a redshirt sophomore. He's probably going to get the first shot at one of those wide receiver positions. But with, and you and I, again, we were talking off the air about how many true freshmen wide receiver recruits are coming in. There's a new young wave of receivers coming in. So Daniel George, even though he's only a sophomore, is he kind of under the gun to get it done now?
I think absolutely so. I think Penn State has demonstrated its belief in Daniel George going back to last year when, you know, they saw that they were trying to get him into real game situations where he could make an impact. It didn't happen for him. But I think I've said this before. It doesn't mean it won't happen for him. You know, now as a player who's, he is on the spot right now. You know, Penn State needs somebody to emerge and somebody to step into a big role and run with it. And Daniel George, outside of Jahan Dotson, is the number one guy on that list. He's a guy who's got a lot of upside. He just didn't realize it last year. And frankly, you know, looking for somebody outside of KJ Hamler and to a lesser extent, Jahan Dotson, was a little bit of a mess. You know, it's why Justin Shorter's at Florida right now. But Daniel George, I think, can be that guy. And frankly, I think Penn State needs him to be that guy ASAP. I think he's got a very balanced game. I think he's a guy who can make an impact down the field. He can make an impact in the possession game. I like the fact that he went from 220 pounds to 210 pounds in the spring. I think that's probably where he needs to be, a little bit less bulky, a little bit more fluid in his movements, could take him a long way. I think he's going to have a nice year. I would be guessing if I said he was going to have a monster year, but I think he'll emerge as the clear number two. And then all bets are off beyond that on that wide receiver depth chart. I don't know what's going to happen and who's going to emerge, whether it's TJ Jones and John Dunmore, or is Jahan Dotson going to be a legitimate number one? I still have a lot of questions about the whole depth chart, and Daniel George, certainly one of them. You got to project that physical ability, and you have to kind of see that the Penn State staff likes him. And I think he's going to make good on that belief that they have in him.
Well, you brought up the idea of KJ Hamler last year was the primary target, and he got most of the throws to wide receivers went his way. I don't think you're going to have any wide receiver, even Jahan Dotson, get that many looks the way KJ Hamler did. So this year, isn't it necessary for them to spread the load out a bit? And that also means both the offensive coordinator and the quarterback, Sean Clifford, it's going to be incumbent on them to look for these other wide receivers, Dustin.
Yeah, I don't think, and this is where I think Penn State wants to be, is they want to be in a place where one guy is not dominating the workload. Whether that's realistic or not, like I'm a believer in having your true number one wide receiver and your go-to guy where if situations get tough, you throw it to him. The last, you know, this will be 3 years in a row where that number one guy is going to be a player who's a very small player. And can you go to that player in every single situation? I'm not so sure, but they want to be in a place where they can sort of indiscriminately spread the ball around. I think that's going to include, obviously, Pat Freiermuth, who I think he could very well lead the team in targets this year. I think it could include a second tight end too. I think you're going to spread the wealth all around. Could the running backs be more involved in a Kirk Shiraka offense? Do you need to compensate if the wide receiver position is not a strength? You know, I think there's a number of things that we don't quite know yet. But I do think that they want to get the ball around and get more guys involved. And that's why, you know, we talked off air about them bringing five more wide receivers in the 2020 recruiting class. And I think that's why they want to get a bunch of guys on the field. They want to have a bunch of guys involved in that competition for playing time. And that's exactly what we're going to see, you know, whenever they do kick off training camp.
And the idea of spreading it out, I do believe that's what they want. And if you look at their history, just go back a few years, I was watching the Penn State-Wisconsin replay of the Big Ten championship game. It was spread out. A guy named Saeed Blacknall had a big game, and he was hardly the number one target on those teams. All right, let's get to our third player on our list this week, and that is Trent Gordon. He's a redshirt sophomore, And this spring, he made the move from cornerback to safety. And my question to you, Dustin, is that more about his skill set, or is it about the amount of talent at the two positions?
Yes, the answer is to that. I think it's both.
Good answer. That's an NCAA type answer.
Exactly. I say a little bit of nothing in a lot of words, but yeah, I think every time Penn State has made this move, which they've made a habit of going to this well. Before, the cornerback to safety transition is a common one, but I do think it's about Trent Gordon's skill set. James Franklin said as much at some point in the spring. All the days, as you know, are blurring together, but it's about his skill set, and they feel like he has he's better equipped to be a safety than a cornerback. But it's also about the depth charts at both spots. The cornerback depth chart is in really, really good shape. Not to say that Trent Gordon wouldn't have been involved there, but when you look at Donovan Johnson and that trio of, sophomore redshirt freshmen there, they were really dealing again from a position of strength, which they've done before too. You saw Garrett Taylor make that transition and emerge as a starting safety. You saw Lamont Wade make that transition and emerge as a starting safety. What you've also seen is that the transition, it can take a little bit of time. I don't expect Trent Gordon to be a real factor in 2020. I'd be happy to be pleasantly surprised in the other direction, but I don't think he's going to be a factor in 2020. I think you're looking at more of 2021 for him, but I think he can be, and I think his coverage skills and all that, it's going to work out well at safety. We've seen that in the past. So, I think it is about both. I think Trent Gordon is better equipped to be a safety, and I think Penn State keeps shuttling guys from cornerback to safety. Start them at corner, even if you have some doubts whether that's their long-term position or not. Start them at corner, and you can move them later if need be. Trent Gordon is just the latest. He won't be the last one either.
We often, and I fall into this trap a lot, this is going to be his third year in the program. You're thinking, hey, he should have progressed further by now. But remember, he's just a redshirt sophomore. That means he has 3 years of eligibility left. And as you said, looking at the depth chart, if you look at safety, Johan Brisker, Lamont Wade are seniors. So there's two openings that are going to happen come the 2021 season, and Trent Gordon can get himself right into the mix. This is a move that, like you said, Dustin, it's not necessarily about the 2020 season, but perhaps the 2021 and 2022 seasons. Dustin, thank you very much as always, but that is it for this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Thank you folks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.
Baseball is coming back next week. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN when you sign up. For a limited time, all new users can get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. That's code KSN only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.